Some of you probably know that Evan and I went to a conference in Springfield week before last, and some of you have been around long enough to know that when I go to a conference, I have a tendency to be influenced by what I've heard and learned at the conference, and you may hear two, you may hear 10 messages from that conference. Don't think you'll hear that many this time, but I do have one that I wanted to share with you, because one of the things that they talked about at the conference was membership, and I am the clerk for the Harrison Baptist Association, so I keep track of all the churches in our area and their membership, and you'd just be amazed. Some churches that have maybe, you know, two dozen that attend on a regular Sunday morning, but they turn in a list of 400 members, and we're not much different. We have a list of approximately 400 and getting close to 500 members of this church, people who have joined this church at one time or another, either by baptism or by statement coming from another church or by transfer of letter from another church, that type of thing. But 500 members, and on a really good Sunday, we might have, you know, 200 or so that attend. And so you kind of wonder, where are those people at? And I am very deeply indebted to Miss Frances Reed for keeping incredible records for a lot of years, because we have the records that show who all the members are. But some of them, we don't know if they're dead, we don't know if they've moved, we don't know if they've gone to another church, because other churches don't keep records like Frances did. And so we don't know. Somebody may have moved their membership and we just don't know about it. But anyway, I've got all kinds of stats that I had prepared to give you, and I thought, mercy, that would put you all to sleep quicker than normal. So I didn't want to do that, but I just want you to know that we have a lot of people on our rolls who are not coming. And some of them I know right where they're at. I've got their phone numbers, I've got their addresses, and I have contacted them in the past. And that's one of the things, the BFF Sunday. And how odd is that? God working on the odds of me talking about BFF and Kobe having a message on BFF. Different things. But anyway, invite people. Let people know that they're welcome here. And when they come, make sure that they're made to feel welcome. One of the other things that I came across, though, in my stats is this. Of all the people who do attend our church, approximately a third of them are not members of our church. And I got to make it clear, I'm thrilled to death to have you. You don't have to be a member of our church. We're just so grateful to have each and every single one of you here. But anyway, the other thing I think about is, with very few exceptions, like Francis, everybody here was a visitor at one time. You know, and I guess even you were at one time, right? So the idea is that we are built on people coming to visit. That's exactly what you know, most of you have been, and we love having you here. But I want to give you an example from my own life. 38 years ago, this past Easter, I was a visitor to Ramona's mother's home for Easter dinner with the family. It was my very first time with that family, because we had been dating for a while, and it was my very, very first family event, but I wasn't a member of the family yet. Now, I was welcomed into to Colleen's home, and I was fed well, and I was treated with hospitality, so I went back. That's not the only reason, you know, that I went back. But, you know, if you go someplace as a visitor, and they're snarly at you, and, you know, treat you like Kobe was talking about, if they're bullies and that kind of stuff, you don't want to go back. Well, I was welcomed there, I was fed well, and I received hospitality. Kind of cling to those three things. We love having people visit Emmanuel Baptist Church. If you're just passing through, if you're here in town and you're looking for a church, whatever the situation may be, we love having people visit. And we really hope, and we pray, I do, that you're fed well. You're fed spiritually. We pray that you're treated with hospitality, and we pray that you feel welcome in this place, and we pray that you come back. But there comes a time, because you see, in my situation with Ramona's family, I was a visitor until November of that year, when I became a member of the family, and I joined into that family through our marriage. There comes a time when visitors have to really consider whether or not to become a part of the family. Our Emmanuel Baptist church constitution spells out the procedure for membership, and I mentioned it a while ago. It can come from being baptized. It can come from moving a membership from a church of like faith. Or in some cases, it just comes from a statement. For example, if your church has disbanded and is no longer there, you just make a statement. I was a member at this church, and we kind of take that on faith. But another part of the Constitution details my role as pastor in membership. And I have to confess that I'm not always the best at following through with that. Because what it says is that I'm supposed to instruct new members on our church covenant and on the 2000 Southern Baptist Faith and Message, which is, it was written in 2000. And I haven't done a very good job of that. It does say at the discretion of the pastor, and I guess that's my excuse, but the idea is that we're supposed to instruct new members on what being a member is all about. Now, I plan to put some information out on the Welcome Center eventually, if you have any questions about that. But if you do have questions about what being a member entails, come talk to one of us, and we'll try to let you know. I just want to say, though, I would never encourage anybody to consider membership in this church or really in any other church based on what the pastor says. It's got to be a God-led, Spirit-led thing. You've got to follow the leading of the Lord in where you are going to have your membership or whether or not you're going to have membership. But I did want to tell you just a little bit of something about some of the experiences I've had. Several years ago, I had a couple who had been coming for quite a while, and I had gone to visit them in their home. And in the course of our visit, it came up about the church they used to attend, and I said, where is your membership at? And they said, Emmanuel. And they'd never joined our church. But they had the idea that because they'd been coming, they were members. And there is a procedure you need to go through in order to become a member, and they eventually did that. You won't find anything in Scripture that says church membership. You just won't find that. It's not there. But it does speak about people within the church body making decisions. It talks about people who are baptized and added to the number and different things of that nature. It speaks about the responsibilities of the body of Christ, the church. It speaks about accountability within the body. So in order for these things, there's got to be a body if they have these things spelled out in Scripture. The first real order of business regarding membership is this: to be a believer, to confess that we are sinners, as all of us are, and we confess that before the Lord. Then we ask his forgiveness, we invite him into our hearts, and then we commit to follow him, to do our very best to follow him and to grow in him for the remainder of our days here on this earth. And that's what's required to become a member. But why would we? Well, today's passage is at least one place from the Bible that addresses that. And we're going to be looking today at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It is our habit here, and it's not just a habit, I think it's scriptural, to stand while we read from God's word. So I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Ramona, would you pray? I always hesitate to do what I'm getting ready to do because I don't like to boast about any particular member of the church or any job that's done in the church. because I'm afraid I'll leave somebody out. And I know I will. But I just want you to see some of the things that get done around here because of the different gifting that God has given each one of us. Last week, we had the Lord's Supper, and we had a fellowship lunch. And you know what? When we walked in, that Lord's Supper table was all ready to go. All those little cups were filled, and it was all covered up, and it was done beautifully. That doesn't just happen. Somebody does that. When we went to the fellowship lunch afterward, the tables were set up and arranged, and the chairs were all laid out so that we'd have plenty of room. And you know what? After it was over, somebody cleaned it up. Somebody put it back. Those kinds of things happen. Somebody crawled underneath the education building out here, where the brick building part, where the floors were sagging up to 3 or 4 inches in some places, crawled under there in that wet, nasty place with cobwebs and who knows what, and shored up as much as they could at this point, and repaired. Somebody updates our website. If you've ever been on the website, one of the things that I appreciate about it so much is it doesn't say on the calendar June of 2017. It's up to date. That doesn't happen without somebody inputting the information, taking care of it. And there's so many, many more who do things for the church, for the body of Christ, that many of you don't even know take place. I appreciate all that each of you do as members in the church. And in verse 11, to begin with, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now, this is not meant to be an all-inclusive list. There are other things that he himself, which is Jesus, gave specific gifts or talents to so that the body of Christ might be built up. He is the one who gifted certain people to lead the church, and he gifted certain people to work behind the scenes so that the ones he picked to be leaders of the church can lead. It's part of being a part of the body. Way back in 2003, and I've referenced this a couple times because I think Kathy was here the last time I did this, we didn't have enough people to put on VBS. We had a lot of kids coming, but we didn't have enough people. Membership just wasn't that big at that time. So we enlisted people from other churches to come in and help. And, you know, today we got plenty of people who could do the work of the church, and that's why we feel like any job that needs to be done, it ought to get done because we've got plenty of people and all of you are gifted differently. The work of the church should be done by the church. And those who are benefiting from the work of the church should seek God's will in becoming a part of the job, part of the work itself. Why? Verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, I spend a lot of time defining words because I never like to assume that people know what a word is, and that probably comes from lots of time in the classroom from years ago. But I think it's important that we understand what this is saying. The word saint calls to mind for most people some perfect person who did miraculous things and has a cathedral in Europe named after him or her. That's not what a saint is. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. That's who that's referring to. And so this work that's done in the church is for the equipping of the believers to do the work of the church. And why? For the edifying of the body of Christ. That is the church. Edifying means to build up. And so all of us have particular gifts that God has given us so that we might equip the saints for ministry, and so that we might build up the body of Christ. That's what it's all about. Every believer is gifted by God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in ways that will equip other believers to do the ministry of the Lord. I know I harp on this a lot, and I'm sorry that I do, but it's just a constant need. We so often talk about nursery workers. We need somebody to work in the nursery, that kind of thing. Or we talk about team kid workers. People that we've got a great bunch of people right at the moment. We're well staffed. But I know that those two things are not necessarily everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody wants to work with small children. But it's needed in order to build up the work of the ministry for the saints, for believers. Young families, you know, I've got statistics on young families, too, that I could share with you. We've probably got more than you think we do. But it's harder for them to get to church because they got to get the kids ready. And I used this example in first service. I'm going to use it again. We got Liz sitting back there who's at home with four little ones by herself because Evan comes to the early service. She gets them all here. There's no reason why we can't get our children here. It's just hard to do. But I'll bet you get them ready for school, don't you? I'll bet you get them ready for ball games. And yet, when it comes time for church, we get to thinking, well, I can't get them around. And I'm not being critical here. I just know that it's difficult. So church, we need to make it as easy upon them as possible. And if they have to gather all their kids up and then come in and try to keep them gathered in a pew because there's nobody who wants to work in the nursery, that doesn't build up the church. It doesn't equip the saints, the believers, to hear the word of God. So that's just one example. Anything you want to talk about that gets done in the church, somebody's got to do it so that it will equip the saints and so that it will edify the body of Christ. Another thing I want you to think about is that our jobs within the church may change over the years. We may have a different gifting in our older years than we did in our younger years. And there's a couple things about that. Sometimes we need to step away from what we used to do so that somebody else can be trained up to do it. But we can't sit back and say, okay, I've done my part. I'm old enough now, I can just sit back and twiddle my thumbs. No, there's a different job for you to do. Maybe it's calling people who don't come anymore and telling them they're missed. Maybe it's visiting people in the hospital just to let them know that we care about them. Maybe it's praying, and none of us ever get to the point where we shouldn't pray. So even though your job may change, you still have a job. Examine what it is that God wants you to be doing in this season of your life, and then get busy with it. I'm going to ask this question a lot today. Why? Why should we do that? Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ. So our goal as saints, as believers, should be that we reach unity of the faith. Now I know that it's difficult sometimes to get people to be unified on certain issues. And I said, if we just wanted to say, okay, this carpet needs to be replaced, I'd like to have it be purple. You know, just bright South Harrison purple. Some of you are going to disagree with that, I'm guessing. That's not talking about unity of the color of the carpet. It's talking about unity of faith. Do we believe that Jesus died and rose again? Do we believe that we have a responsibility to carry that with us to other people? That's unity of the faith, not unity of all the other side issues. It says something about the perfect man. All you ladies, you know who the perfect man is, don't you? It's your husband, right? The perfect man, the one that you sought out and picked out just because, well, obviously there are no perfect men. So why does it say that in Scripture? Another word that could be used for the word perfect there is maturity, the mature man. But what this is talking about is maturing, becoming more and more like Christ, becoming more like Jesus. We're never going to get there in this lifetime, but that should be our continual goal, to strive to be closer to what Christ is like, the perfect man. And that's what we need to do. And the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. Much of the work that we are called to do within the church is specifically for building others up so that they can become more like Christ. And that really is our goal in the church. And again, why? Verse 14. That we, each one of us, should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. My, that's a kind of a nasty verse, isn't it? All these different bad things that are going on. Well, again, part of the purpose for our work in the church is to help others grow, but even more so, it's to help us grow. It's to help you become more nearly a perfect man or woman. I can tell you this without a doubt. I kind of knew my Bible back in 2003. You know, I taught Sunday school from time to time. But the way that I really got to know God's word, and I have much farther to go, believe me, but the way I got to know it is by studying it and teaching it. I've heard people tell me in their Sunday school classes, they can't believe how much they learn by teaching. The best way for you to learn is by doing. And so in doing that, we'll come closer to maturity. We work to edify the body, but in the process, we grow. Now, I mentioned that fully half of those who are listed as members in our church don't attend. And a lot of those people are people that I personally baptized. And a lot of those people have disappeared. And I consider that a personal failing. I take it personally because I failed to keep them involved in the church, growing in the church. Now, some of them just wanted to be baptized. Some of them wanted what we call fire insurance. They wanted to make sure they didn't go to hell, so I got to get baptized, and then they never come again. I have to doubt whether their conversion was sincere if they have nothing to do with the Lord that they said they wanted to invite into their hearts. It's hard for me to imagine that. But the problem with it is that the wind of a different doctrine, the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting is real. People out there don't want people to be in here. And so they're going to use every means they possibly can for young people, for older people, for all people, to try to keep them away from growing in the Lord. And that's all the work of the devil. The way that we guard best against that is by increasing in the knowledge of the Son of God. And I believe that the best way to do that is by coming to his church. Let me say that I would love to have all of you here every single Sunday. Talked about that with the BFF Sunday coming up. I've got 315 people on the list of people who come regularly. And that means, you know, at least occasionally. My goodness, what would happen if all 315 showed up one Sunday? First of all, I would praise God, but they ought to be here. I'd like to see you here every Sunday night and every Wednesday night too. And I know that's asking a lot, but I truly believe that if we all did that, we couldn't help but grow in the knowledge of the Son of God that we're being called to do in this verse. Well, anyway, I'm glad to have you here. Don't get discouraged because I want you here, but then I want you even in more places. But I just really believe that we need to consider this. And that's the title of the message. Does membership in a church mean anything? Is it, you know, sometimes we go to, you know, coronations and different things like that, and they announce the kids and a lot of times tell what affiliation the kids have, what church they are affiliated with. And it's amazing how somebody will say they're a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, but they haven't been here for 10 years and they're only 16, you know. What does membership mean? And it's got to mean something, or we can't encourage people to do it. But for those of us who are members, what does it mean to be a member of this body? And I pray that it means the things that we're talking about here today, getting involved in the work, growing in the knowledge of the Son of God. And then one more in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ. Jesus must be the head of this church. Not Bruce, not Evan, not the deacons, not anybody else who's in this church. Jesus Christ must be the head of the church. And then it says we got to speak the truth in love. I know some people who always speak the truth, but it's not always in love. Sometimes it's in the form of an attack. We're supposed to be truthful. But if it's not spoken in love, it really does more damage than it does good. It tears down instead of building up. I've had people come to me in anger all through my life. I had parents when I was a principal who would come in much anger to tell me all that I'd done wrong and how worthless I was. And I got to tell you, when somebody comes at me in anger, you know how I respond? In anger. But when somebody comes to me and says, in love, brother, you said this wrong. You did this wrong. You should have done something else. But they come to me in love and in peace and in a desire to grow me instead of tearing me down. I don't leave those kinds of meetings with anger. I may not agree with them, but at least, you know, I don't get all angry about it. And the point of this is simply this. Even quoting God's word can be used like a weapon. We can use it to damage people instead of build them up. It's got to be done in love. Jesus is the head of this church. And if there's ever any doubt about that, if I or any other person standing up here gives you the idea that it's my church or my rules, you need to do something about it. But do it in love. Don't do it in an attack. One more why. Why would we do that? Verse 16. But from whom the whole body, that's the church, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself, the body, in love. I often say things like this, and I just absolutely believe it to be true. There's not a person here today by accident. You may be a first-time visitor. I believe God called you to this place. You may have been coming here for 60 years, but I believe God called you to this place. This whole body, this church, has been very carefully and lovingly knit together to create the body of Christ that exists here today. It wasn't done by me. Wasn't done by any other person. It says from whom the whole body, and that refers directly back to Christ. It is He, Jesus, who assembled this body of believers. And He didn't do it so that we could have a beautiful building, or so that we could have nice decorations, or so that we could sing great songs, or anything like that. That's part of it, yes. But He drew each one of us here together today in order to edify His name, to build up the body of Christ. He assembled this group of people, and that includes each one of you, so that the saints could be equipped for the ministry of this church. There's not one of you who's been called to this place who doesn't have somewhere to work in the body of Christ. Membership means something. It means that every person, every part does their share. Every part causes growth for the body and for the edifying of Christ in love. So my prayer for you today is to consider what your mission should be. And I really believe this. One of them is attendance. One of them is being here. Family members ought to be seated around the table together. In my family growing up, we never sat down to a meal together except when Mom had big family dinners, because one of them's milking and one of them's plowing and one of them's mowing the yard, and we just ate whenever we got a chance. So in my family, I really wanted us all together around the table together. And you know what? If your children only came to the table once a month, or Christmas and Easter only, would you be satisfied with that? Attendance, being here, is part of the growth process. Your role is to find the work that God's got set aside for you specifically, and then to get about the business of doing it. How do you know what that work is? Well, you won't if you don't do anything. You got to try something. Try something. And if God doesn't want you in that area, I promise you, He won't let you stay. He'll move you somewhere else. But there's something that you personally are being called to do. For some of you, it may be to become a part of this body. Please don't read anything that I've said here today as an encouragement for people to jump up and join Emmanuel Baptist Church. What I'm asking you to do is to become a part of the body of Christ. And that the first step there is becoming a believer. If you have any questions about any of the things that we've talked about today, I encourage you to come see me, talk to Evan, talk to the deacons, talk to somebody in the church. But find out what it is that God's got planned for you and then get about the business of doing it. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this group of people that I know that you have assembled here today. Some of them we don't know their names yet. Some of them we may not know their gifts or their talents yet. Maybe they don't even know their gift or their talent yet. But I pray, God, that you would reveal it to us, that you would help us to become an active and involved member of the body of Christ, whether it be at Emmanuel Baptist Church or whether it just be wherever they are. And I pray, God, that you would use each of us to build up, to equip the saints, and to build up the body of Christ. I pray this particularly, Lord, that if there be one here today that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that's the first step. Help them, Lord, to have the boldness to step out and to accept you, and then to get involved in the activities of the church to build up this body, to build up your body, Lord. I thank you for all these things, and I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.